Hello, this is Tyler Posey, and you are listening to Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast.
Welcome back to Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast. I hope that you've all had a very good long hiatus, and I apologize that we have not been able to dedicate a ton of time to Teen Wolf specific content in the break, though we have had a bunch of other things come out where you would have heard our voices over that period. So we're back to talk about Teen Wolf because it's all going to kick off for the last time. We got the huge season 6B trailer drop. It's going to show what's coming in the very final 10 episodes ever of Teen Wolf, which is going to start airing on July 30. And we're going to start talking about that very soon because there is a lot of surprises and joy and sorrow to come. So I am your host, Natalie. My co-host is Karen. We are the Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast people who have been doing this for nearly 5 years now, over on hyperville.com, talking about Teen Wolf and bringing you this podcast. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us on the podcast Twitter, which is NATW Podcast, our Instagram, NATW Podcast, Facebook, /NATW Podcast, our email, NATWpodcast@gmail.com, and our Tumblr, which is notanotherteenwolfpodcast.com. That's our website that functions as Tumblr. You can also check out all the Teen Wolf content on hyperbull.com or for the podcast pages or the news articles that Karen writes. And we're about to head off to San Diego Comic Con to be covering the final appearance of Teen Wolf at the con as well.
The actual final appearance,
not last time when they were like, this will be our last time. You know, we thought maybe by this time we would have had the whole of season 6 come out, but it has not turned out that way, so they are bringing the final season back to Comic-Con. We're going to be there, and it's all going to be very stressful. anyway, I guess we're doing this. So we have the final footage. So Karen has analyzed it very thoroughly, and we're going to chat about first peak of 6B and what's to come, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, how are you feeling?
Oh, man. This was a very good trailer, and I don't think I've been too quiet about being nervous about the back half of season 6, because season 6A ended so well and it felt like such a great send-off that we were like, but we kind of just wanted to end there, because what if we don't like what comes after? Then it's gonna hurt so much. But this trailer looks great. And I'm actually really excited for the back half of the season now.
Yeah, I'm shocked. It's really like, there's a lot of things that came out in that trailer that I don't know, because we really didn't know where it was going to end. You know, like we didn't really know where they were going to go from there. And now I'm just like, oh my God, like this. Yeah, there's a lot in there that I wasn't really expecting. You know, some stuff that I maybe had hoped for, but definitely plot wise there's some stuff that I wasn't expecting or what we can make of the plot. So yeah, it should be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get started with analyzing this trailer, because there's actually a lot of stuff in here, and some of it we kind of expected, other things definitely not, so that's very exciting. But the first thing is that it kicks off with we see fire in a car, and then we kind of see a figure who I'm assuming Scott, but like can't 100% tell that it's him, going inside of a building that looks like it's kind of partially burnt down. And there's a group of people there, all dead. They look like they've been attacked first, and then that, you know, the house was set on fire or something like that. And they're all either werewolves or supernatural creatures, because one of them has claws and stuff like that. So what do you think is going on in this opener? Because it's a very ominous opener.
I really don't know. I feel like I've trying to be black out all of the skinless bodies in this trailer, because there was a lot of them. I have no real theories aside from the fact that there's a very prevalent burnt down house story in Teen Wolf, which we never got to see. So I don't know if this is Scott. I don't know if this is a memory or, you know, I don't know if this is a recreation or like of, you know, obviously the Hale House fire, or if, you know, this is a new occurrence, you know, in the present day, or even if it is a new occurrence in the present day, you know, if Derek is aware of this, which obviously we'll talk about him in a moment, then this is not a good thing for him to have to come back to either. So
right. Yeah. And given that the hunters are so present in this trailer in this season as well, I mean, I wouldn't discount that there's a possibility that this has something to do with that. Although just from the quick glance, I think all of them were guys. I don't think there were any women in that pile, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. So, but speaking of Chris, we do see him next. And first we get somebody talking. To me, it kind of sounded like Melissa, but kind of not. I'm leaning more towards not. But a woman says something is happening in Beacon Hills to the people here. And we see Chris looking at Beacon Hills having been written in blood on the side of a building. And I was just wondering, like, who you think might have done that. My question is either the bloody creature or Kate, because we also see her later on.
I don't know. Like, gang's all here, man. Like, I don't know. Like, way too much Gerard in this trailer. But
oh, I have so much to say about that. So much.
I don't know. My main thought about that was where he was, like, because it kind of sounds like everyone was gone from Beacon Hills. Like, the fact that he was like, that's where it all started. Has he like gone from there and is like being called back? Like, you know, is that message, you know, Cade or whoever, say, like, calling him back to Beacon Hills?
That's definitely possible, because by the end of 6A, you know, a lot of people kind of did disperse and people are moving on, going off in different directions. So it's very possible that he's somewhere else. And he's also with who I assume is another hunter, somebody we haven't seen before. So maybe he was like helping out a buddy or something like that, and they're on the hunt and they come across this, and that's what brings back to Beacon Hills.
I don't know. I don't know too many I don't knows. I have a bunch of theories and a bunch of I don't knows. But yeah, lots of new faces like the hunter and stuff like that. So I'm not sure. I really vibed that he wasn't there, that this was kind of a message to come back. So Kate is an interesting theory, but I don't know. I don't even know, you know, whose side she might be on at the moment, if this is like a message intended for Chris or if this is a threat or what.
Right. One of my favorite parts of the trailer was actually Lydia's little section where she's in bed, she's having a nightmare, she whispers, "Where is he?" Which I'm thinking is maybe she's having a nightmare about Styles, but it could be someone or something else, because obviously we kind of go into what I'm guessing is her nightmare. I mean, the way the trailer is edited, it looks like that. But as we know, like, those edits don't always mean that's actually what happens in the show.
Yes. Do you think that there are scenes in this trailer that won't play out in the show?
The thing with trailers is you never know what's real and what's not, especially in Teen Wolf, because some of this stuff could be in their heads. There's a couple of scenes where specifically I'm wondering, okay, is this actually real, or is somebody kind of hallucinating this, or is it a trick of some sort? And then there are others where the way things are edited, it's not quite how it appears. So that's going to be interesting too. But what we do see is Lydia in the school, which is covered in spider webs, which is really creepy. And she says that they brought something through from another world. This has to do with the fallout from the Ghost Riders and going through the portal and all of that. And she also mentions there's always a price to pay. And that is said over a shot of Lydia, Scott, and Malia, which is slightly concerning, though not necessarily meaning we'll lose one of them.
Price to pay is in, like, for what? Like, that they brought Styles back, or, like, that they've done, like, that they, who do they owe this price to, like?
Yeah, the universe, maybe? I mean, because they brought Styles back.
Yeah.
Right, because they brought him back, what price will they have to pay in return. It's kind of that idea of like, magic always comes with a price.
Yeah,
so you
like,
can't have something for nothing.
Yeah, like we just did that, on Rewatchable, like with Buffy coming back from the dead, mm-hmm. and then like having that demon that's created like the negative energy in return for her coming back to life, in
right.
Buffy season 6. So like that kind of balance thing, I'm trying to think is if whether we've kind of seen that in Teen Wolf before, like, more than just like a life for a life, Romeo and Juliet style, but whether we've had like a literal supernatural balancing out of energy or anything like that before.
I mean, that was the whole thing with the Nemeton, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, we've definitely gotten these themes before, but this is going to be interesting because now that the Nemeton is turned on, it's a beacon in Beacon Hills. But aside from that, with this, it looks like a physical creature has sort of manifested itself, and now it's in Beacon Hills. And this thing is disgusting and terrifying. So it starts off looking deformed. It doesn't really have any features. If you've seen Stranger Things, it kind of looks like the Demogorgon with its like things closed. It's all like weird and bumpy. It's completely covered in blood.
Ooh.
It's so gross. And then it starts to build itself up over the course of the trailer. We see it looking more red, less bloody, but like layers are coming on top of it. To the point where it becomes a human just covered in muscle, like one of those diagrams you see at the doctor's.
Like Robbie Williams in the Rock DJ video when he rips off his skin.
Sure.
You don't. Google it afterwards.
Okay. And when it is covered in muscle, it's even wearing clothes at this point, which I thought was kind of funny. So I just had to point that out.
Well, but that makes me just wonder, like, if he's... This is something, again, like that they have made, like what I mentioned with Buffy, whether this is like something that has literally manifested due to the porthole, like if they've brought it back, or if like the world has created this thing to balance out whatever they did, like that it is literally manifesting from scratch,
like it was born almost and now it's growing and like completing itself. And I was wondering if, I mean, we see a whole bunch of people dead in this trailer and we don't know who did what, but there is one point where we see a group of dead bodies and all of their eyes are missing. And I'm wondering if this thing has to like devour people a la the Mummy in order to kind of flesh itself out again.
It's like, I need eyes. I'll eat that guy's eyes or I'll put them in me.
Exactly.
Like
yeah. And he has purple glowing eyes, which I thought was interesting because we always dissect like what the eyes mean. And
have we had
that.
Purple before?
I feel like we have, but I couldn't put a pin on it.
I don't know if we have. We've had like purple, like Wolfsbane is the biggest purple thing that we know. Not really purple. We've got, gold, blue, red. We've had sort of more orangey for the Hellhound and a bit of green. I don't know if we had purple. They're running out of colours.
Yeah, really.
Well, every season has a colour theme as well. So I don't know if this one is purple in general, or if they'll have like, in the credits or anything like that.
So I just Googled it really quick and it says Josh Diaz's irises glowed the exact same shade of purple as his claws and the electromagnetic energy he produced.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. I did feel like we'd seen purple at some point recently. So magnetic guy who is now deceased.
Mm-hmm. So,
do you think it's coming? Do you think it's him? Like,
that would be weird.
Like, he was not a very nice man. Boy.
No.
Whatever you want to call him.
I'm going to go with it's something different. These are definitely, and they glow weird. They don't necessarily, they look more like the Oni eyes, where it wasn't like an eye where the iris was a different color. It's like an actual glowing thing inside their eye socket.
Yeah.
So it makes it a little bit different. But yeah, the creature is, ugh. And there's also a shot of it looking real pale, like it's lying in the middle of the woods, and it's not really covered in blood, but it had like other stuff on it, and I didn't know if maybe that was just from like the forest floor, or I thought maybe it was like coming out of a cocoon or something where it's like growing and changing. So that's also something to keep in mind.
Cool. Sounds good. I mean, is this, the Dread Doctors are all dead, right?
Yes.
All of them?
I'm pretty sure.
I was like, is this like a failed experiment or something? Like, you know, like, is that arc, is this a brand new arc, or is this some sort of, you know, medical experiment situation?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's otherworldly and it had to like pass through and be born and kind of like build itself back up.
Yeah, because if there is another world, it could be that like things manifest differently in, okay, again, like Buffy and Angel, and that we just did Angel when they went to Lorne's world. I can't remember the name of it.
Pylea.
Yeah, Pylea, and how Angel appears differently as a vampire in another realm, if in another dimension. So maybe this is like something from another dimension, something that we know of manifesting differently in this dimension to how, you know, how it would, how we know it to manifest, if that makes
right.
sense.
Right. And when they came through the portal, like it burned, you know, Peter. So it takes energy to get through there and it has effects on you. So maybe this is just, depending on where he came from and what he was like to start off with, that could indicate something.
Yeah.
We also have another creature that we've seen before, but a different person. So there's a new hellhound on the scene, which is pretty interesting because we still have a lot to learn about hellhounds. And his name is Howlin. Am I pronouncing that right?
I guess Howlin looks right to me.
Yeah. Danya, should I ask Danya. She said his name means salt. So just keep that in mind for whatever reason. It's a rare name, a rare Welsh name, but it does exist. And the description of him is, well, first of all, he's being played by Casey Diedrich, who says, Diedrich will portray Howlin, a former resident of Eichenhaus, who just so happens to be a 100-year-old hellhound with mysterious ties to an ancient evil now threatening Beacon Hills in the aftermath of the Ghost Riders and the Wild Hunt. So I think he's going to be connected to this creature. I mean, depending on how it works, he could be the creature. I mean, if the creature is building himself up and becoming human-looking, that's not entirely how hellhounds work, but I wonder how else he could be connected.
I don't know, maybe he's defective. Maybe he burnt himself up or something.
Yeah, because hellhounds just inhabit the dead body.
Yeah, because if he's 100, like, yeah, like, you know, is Howlin, you know, and Parrish, do they have memories of living for 100 years or anything like that? Or have, you know, because obviously Parrish didn't know he was a hellhound. Mm-hmm. Like, do they kind of just, like, reset, like, you know, can the hellhound just go into different hosts? Or is it, there's still a lot we don't know, lots of loose ends about this show that I'm hoping these episodes sort of can tie up in terms of, again, like Eichenhaus, like some of the dodgy stuff there, hellhounds, hailfire, all of these things. I feel like there's, number one, I feel like there's a lot of fire in common at the moment, and I really want, you know, that to come through. Like, again, the hailfire, as I've said many, many times, I think the hailfire and the hail family are the linchpin of this show and this town, and so I would really love for the ending story to be looped into that in some way. And I don't know, there's just a lot of fire going on and it's making me curious.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of fire and a lot of fear. That was one thing I noticed from like the overall tone of the trailer, which we kind of knew was coming because Lovecraft is supposed to be a big influence on this half of the season. Right. So we're going to see a lot of horror stuff, a lot of stuff to do with fear. And Malia at one point asks, what's everyone afraid of? Scott says us, which I thought was a really great line and a really interesting concept. Melissa is talking to Chris and she says, you felt a fear, and he just whispers terror. And this is following a scene of him in the morgue. He's holding a scalpel like he's going to dissect a body, and there's another body in the foreground that it kind of looked like it was breathing. Maybe it was in white and then it was like duct taped closed. So I don't know if that's meant to be the creature or, you know, something else. And then this season's tagline is "Be Afraid." So they're really leaning into the horror aspect this season.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is going to tie more into the next point in regards to what people are afraid of. But, you know, that first conversation with Melissa and Chris sounded like it was something like, you know, if he felt a fear, the way she kind of said it, the way they kind of talked about it, it wasn't just like, oh, were you afraid in this circumstance? It was kind of like, you know, emotions were being manipulated, like, or something like that. Yeah, like that, like something was actually influencing the emotions, either of his own or that he'd kind of been able to tap into someone else's and realize that, you know, for no reason or for irrational reason or whatever, that like fear or paranoia perhaps was being created, which would make a lot of sense if the town, you know, the civilians are discovering the supernatural, which sort of goes into the next point.
Yeah, because after Malia, you know, asks that and Scott responds that everybody's afraid of us, Liam says they're going to turn on us. And we kind of, well, we know that 6B is going to be about the fallout from 6A, and we see like students in the hallways looking at Liam and the others, and they look very afraid, like they're afraid of the supernatural. Mm. And this whole season is going to be about the hunters coming after the supernatural creatures in Beacon Hills.
Yeah. So, well, that was kind of like when we left off in 6A and everyone came back from, you know, the train station world, it kind of seemed like no one was that aware of what had happened to them and they were kind of chill with it, you know. We did not have that big reveal, even though, you know, Scott did his thing in front of everyone as well. We didn't really have that circumstance of everyone being aware of the supernatural. Like, we don't, it's not like a public knowledge thing, no matter like how much Danny, you know, seems to think it is. But I would like to know, yeah, basically, if something new is going to publicly kind of reveal this all, or if it is actually like what happened in 6A or not. But yeah, if it is that the entire population of the town or the school or whatever is actually now aware of the supernatural and is sort of turning on them, then that's kind of not very good. I don't know, it's not really what we're hoping for with Scott being the town hero.
Right. I think this is really interesting though too, because I remember after the beast was revealed and we had the library scene, we were like, oh, everybody's gotta know, and wouldn't it be so cool if everybody, like, you know, clapped applauded as they walked down the hallway. I mean, we really wanted that. And then they were like, oh, just kidding, it was a bear, or like whatever weird reason they gave. And I mean, it kind of worked at the time and it's fine, but I kind of like to imagine that everybody's like, look, the weird shit has been going on for like 6 years. They keep giving us excuses. I'm starting to not believe them anymore. There's only so much you can pretend didn't happen before you really start questioning it.
Mm.
So Scott and the pack becoming public enemy number one, really interesting. And I know, I don't remember where exactly we heard this from, but I know this sort of has like a little bit of a political overtone with the current state of, you know, America and all of that. Mm. So I'm interested in seeing how that translates. And I think it's going to be kind of hard to watch, but I'm really interested in seeing how they turn it around and how,
I mean,
they can win people over.
If they do at all, if the show just doesn't end in a massive pile of bodies,
you know. Don't say that.
Well, one of the things that they said was, you know, Scott said they're murdering he's murdering our friends, or it's murdering our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, we don't know if that was going to be the hunter or the hunters or the creature, but like if they're people that, you know, the pack is actively friends with, like how many bodies are going to drop of like, you know, known cast, you know, known people that are close to them, you know, whether it's like they're going to get like random side guests back who are like, oh yeah, we know them, they're an ally, they're dead, you know, like to show like masses of side characters dead, like, you know, whether we're going to hear like Isaac was killed off screen or something like that. Or...
Don't do it. He's so upset.
Well, you know, he's going to be at Comic-Con, Daniel Sharman, just not for this show, so... Yeah.
What's he going to be there for?
Fear the Walking Dead. He's on.
Oh, Hall, right.
He's Hall H as well. He's going to be doing Fear the Walking Dead in Hall H, which is just so weird. but, you know, or that, like, you know, Satomi or, like, whoever, like, might be, just, you know, dead off screen and everyone's coming after them. But... I don't know. Maybe, Deaton will be dead off screen. You know.
You don't want to see him dead on screen?
No, because then I'd have to put up with Scott being sad about it.
He's going to be sad about it either way.
Yeah. But, you know. So that whole thing of, like, that they're getting killed off makes me wonder how many people are, in fact, getting killed off. If people that Scott is friends with are being murdered. And as for this town knowing about them, again, like, I don't know if that's going to be the fear-inducing monster or if it's going to be the hunters, you know, a new team of hunters coming in and being like, yo, town, we're militarizing this entire town because you've got a monster problem. Were you aware that all these people are monsters? Or if it's going to be kind of like an X-Men style, you know, like, you know, cataloging and registering of
them
or any, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I mean, that feeds into the next section too, which, like, I am so excited about. I don't know how you feel about this. Yeah. I am so down. So as in true Teen Wolf fashion, we don't have just one bad guy. We don't have just one main plot. We've got a couple. And the other one, aside from the creature, it looks like, the other bad guy of the season is going to be Gerard Arjun. So he is definitely back.
You thought bad guy. Interestingly, yes. That's not how I read it.
He's the one, really?
Because I read it as ally to Chris, like grudging, like kind of like grudging ally, that he was like, here, I'm going to tell you what to do to win.
Okay, let me give you my train of thought and then I'll see what you have to say about it, because he's the one that initially says the best way to build an army is through fear, and we see a lot of other hunters and other people who I don't think were necessarily hunters to begin with, you know, loading up, they've got their guns and everything like that, and they're starting to hunt down the supernatural creatures. I assumed that he's using the fear of this creature to get people on his side so that he can continue the work that clearly he's grown up doing his entire life. And I was always like, you know, how is Chris going to kind of bridge the gap? Because, yeah, it, like, you know, he doesn't get along with him, but he's still his father. And he's still a part of the hunter community. So he's kind of got to keep these other people from getting too hurt because they don't necessarily understand that Scott is a good guy. But he also has to make sure Scott and the McCall pack stay safe. And when he asks, like, what should I tell Scott? Gerard says, run. And my big question wasn't whether or not he was an ally. It was, does Gerard want Scott to get out of Dodge because he knows Scott's not really the same kind of bad guy, which to me is unlikely? Or is it like, run, we're going to chase you now. I'll give you a 5-second head start because I know who you are.
That, I mean, that does tie into that end comment, you know, that they hear on the radio.
The radio, yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I kind of got, I got weirdly like, a weird dichotomy from this. I got somewhat something similar to you. Like, yes, that's a, you know, for example, that radio moment at the end was a threat, you know, it was going to be a threat, or if it was going to be the complete opposite where like Gerard is their, like, has to be their awkward ally that, you know, like that he is kind of the general of their situation and, you know, much to everyone's loathing and distrust that he is actually the you know, the one that they have to let be in charge of the situation on their side. But I don't particularly want it to be that, but I don't know.
Well, now that you mention that, I definitely see how you interpreted things that way. So that's interesting. I know, like, I would definitely prefer if
he was bad.
He was bad. And, like, this is the kind of final showdown sort of thing, because we've been wanting him gone for a long time. He's a pain in the ass. He's not a good dude.
I'm surprised he's still around, honestly. Like, I'm really...
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's a great actor, so, like, I know they kind of like to lean into that, but I hope Gerard ends up coming out with trying to, like, take down Beacon Hills and the McCall Pack, and they just, you know, swat him away. That would be so cool to me.
They're like, no.
Mm-hmm. So.
Who do you think should kill him? If he has to die, do you think that any of our good guys should kill him?
No. I think either the creature should kill him,
mm-hmm.
or possibly, actually, what if Kate killed him?
I thought Kate. That was what I thought.
I would not be opposed to Chris killing him. I don't love that idea, but I think he can carry the weight of having done that versus if Scott had been the one to kill him. Like, I really wouldn't, that would not sit well with me. I would kind of love for Kate to take him down, though.
Who do you think is more redeemable between them?
Ooh, I'm gonna have to go with Kate.
Because maybe she'd be like, you made me the way I am and I'm not meant to be this evil. Or
yeah, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, you didn't think you were doing this without me, did you?
Oh, no. This was shocking. I'm actually kind of bummed I got spoiled for this, because I saw people reacting to this on Twitter before mm-hmm. I got the chance to actually see it fresh, because I was actually on a bus at the time that the trailer came out. Yeah, this was... you know, pretty delightful and shocking.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, then Derek comes in and says, without us, and it's all great. And I said, Scott's face is all our faces, because he was so shocked and excited. I was like, that is exactly how I feel right now.
Yeah.
But the biggest part of this is, like, rumors were swirling that Dylan wasn't going to be in the back half. And I'm pretty sure we got confirmation that he was not. So my question is, how long do you think he'll be there for? Is this like he's going to come in with Derek at the very end, save the day, because the 100th episode is going to end the series and we know, like, they got a whole bunch of people back for that?
There was a few shots of Derek in particular. I think I've got a feeling Derek might be in it more than Stiles. I feel like we might be having Derek for throughout the season.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe not. There wasn't too much, obviously nothing really leaked from set. There were a couple of pictures that gave some indication of, I think someone thought they got a picture of some Dylan and Tyler Hoechlin playing like ball on the set there. And
It
was kind of very unauthorized and dodgy. And we kind of hoped that we'd see them in the finale or something like that. But I have a feeling that we might be getting more of Derek than we are of Stiles, but I could mm-hmm. be wrong. And then there's other stuff, you know, other people that are back who we didn't know at all, like that we really, like, they really had the whole thing under wraps. So there could be a lot. I think it'll at least be premiere and finale for Dylan. Mm-hmm. I think it'll at least be those two.
I think I could live with that, because honestly, I mean, I know, and I said this during the first half of 6A2, it's like I wanted him in every episode to begin with, and I didn't want anything to feel any different because he was off doing other projects, but then they did such a good job of making him important and giving us, you know, here's a little bit in the beginning, here's a little bit at the end, and even though he was obviously missing, it was so well done that it allowed you to kind of enjoy his presence in the show anyway. And of course I want him in every episode in the last 10 episodes because he's a fan favorite character and he's just fantastic in general and he's so important to the story. But as long as we get him at least a little bit, I think I'm just going to be satisfied because that allows the opportunity to kind of, again, give him a send-off. Like, we kind of already got a send-off, but another one, like, never going to turn it down.
Yeah, I'm happy. I would have been sort of disappointed on a personal level if he hadn't, like, been included, like, if he had, you know, chosen not to or whatever. Character-wise, I am more excited about Derek, though. I was like, Styles, we know Styles is okay, and yes, if we were getting this final season, it's very unlikely, you know, character wise that, you know, he would hear Scott's in trouble and, oh, big deal going on in Beacon Hills. It would be out of character for him not to come back. He would, oh, I'm at college, they can handle it, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that wouldn't have happened character wise, but we did get, you know, a lot of closure on that character at the end of 6A. And Derek had a great ending at the end of season 4 as well.
Right.
But this one coming back is bigger for me than Styles in a different way. And I'm really, really, I'm so not prepared for, like, where he's at now, what's going on with him.
Yes.
What I really want more than anything is for them to not play it like, Derek, we haven't seen you in forever. I want them to play it like they've been in contact the whole time, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
Like, I don't want it to be like, huh, remember Derek? I want it to be very, very naturalistic that even though we haven't seen Derek, that they aren't like, Derek, you've been gone so long, but they have been in contact with him, and
that would be cool.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's one of my favorite parts of storytelling in television and movies in general is when the audience, when actors manage to pull off the fact that something is normal to the characters, but it's the first time the audience is seeing it. If you know what
right.
I mean, like,
mm-hmm.
something is established characters. And it's, you know, not necessarily the first time the characters have done this off screen, but it's the first time that we are seeing it on screen. So I want to know that they have been, like, not necessarily hanging out if Derek's been off on his, like, vision quest or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, that, you know, that Derek is still very present, like, to them, and that they talk about it normally and stuff like that. You know, if him and Styles are showing up together, it could be that they have been, you know, hanging out since Styles left Beacon Hills. Like, maybe they both ended up in the same place or something like that. So
I'm most excited, and I didn't realize how much I missed this until he showed up and smiled. I miss Zen Derek so much.
I
was okay with him being gone because I did feel like there was a good conclusion and we were focusing on so many other things. And of course I missed him, but, like, it didn't feel like anything was wrong with him being gone. It's just, you know, he
was
wasn't
okay,
there.
You know,
yeah. Like, yeah. He was okay. That was a big thing. But Zen Derek, like, oh my God, so I need much. It so
I love
much.
This character so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, oh, and I'm just, and yeah, and Taylor Hicklin's got so many other great things, you know, going on, like, in,
right.
like, he's made a bunch of really great movies, and I just, and he's such a nice guy. I saw him last year in Australia, he's such a good guy, and I'm so glad that he wanted to come back and do this, and that the character was still important to him and come and do this, because I love this character so much, and mm-hmm. I knew he was okay, but I'm so glad that we're coming back to him at the end.
And I feel that way about quite a few people, which we'll get into momentarily. We're going to do a little bit of a rapid fire now, because there are definitely some shots that are very important that we can talk about, but maybe not, like, hugely important to the plot or something like that. But the first thing I wanted to say was Theo is in the middle of the pack in one shot.
I didn't see that, because I was going to say, as well as additions, we have absences, because what's going on with Theo? But I didn't catch him in this shot. So is that the only shot of him in the trailer?
As far as I could tell, yeah.
I did not catch him, and I was wondering, because I know Cody's been talking about the show. Like, he's been, you know, present you know, on the show. So on social media talking about 6P. So I didn't know whether he was coming or not.
Yeah. He's there as far as I can tell. It's him.
As a good guy.
It looks like it. He's standing right in the middle of the pack. They're all kind of discussing what's going on. And I just think that's great considering, you know, kind of where we left him in 6A and all of that. And the fact that he's kind of not super trustworthy, but like he's trying. So I found that was interesting. Another thing apparently I found interesting was Liam's hair is getting really long.
It's really long.
It is really long. He kind of looks a little older now. And like we see him running through the library on the tables. And he's like roaring at some point. And he's the one that the people look scared of when they're walking down the hallway. So I think there's going to be a good subplot with him kind of. Of course, we know like he's supposed to be taking over a little bit for Scott coming up. So I think that's still going to play into the story very much.
Well, I've got to have a tie into the high school, you know, because otherwise it would just be weird if like Scott and Lydia and stuff were hanging out in the high school.
Exactly.
They'd be the weird, creepy Derricks, you know, lurking around the high school. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So. Or Peter. And speaking of Peter, he's also there doing some fighting and stuff. So that was pretty cool.
Gang's all here.
Yeah. Gang's all here, including Ethan and Jackson.
Okay. Listen. No. I am so 100% serious. They better fucking be dating. I swear to God. I reckon this is going to happen.
I thought the same thing.
Because they're both out now and they weren't, like, not that it's like a reflection on the actors, but like, Colton is extremely out, and he was not when he was filming Teen Wolf, though it was kind of like a weird glass closet because he was sort of out before he was famous, and then it was kind of very private, and now he's out again, and he's engaged, and it's really cute and stuff. And Charlie is an amazing advocate as well, and it would just be such an interesting, like, little twist to have them having found each other and, like, Jackson growing up with, like, you know, being this like kind of alpha school guy and then you know, discovering that he liked guys as well. And though it is his best friend's ex, so maybe not. But
that's true.
I immediately was like, please, like, this would just be, if they're gonna like get one character to be queer, like from the original gang, like you know, there's definitely some, you know, obviously people are very, very excited about Styles and Derek. I don't know.
Who's to say, though, that Danny didn't introduce them?
That's true. It could totally be that. Oh, hi, werewolf boyfriend. Here's my werewolf best friend. You should totally hang out. So maybe they are, you know, not together, or maybe they are together and Danny's cool with it. You know, who knows where Danny is now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as much as we really did – as much as I still, like, to this day, think that something a bit odd went on with the Styles sexuality thing, because I feel like there was a lot of potential there. They, you know, obviously have ended him up with Lydia in a way that's very fulfilling to most viewers. Not that that means he couldn't be bisexual, but probably means he's not going to end up with Derek, who, again, has never had a story about his sexuality. And it's not really the place to shove it into 10 episodes. But, you know, I would love Jackson to randomly just be dating Ethan. I think that would just be, like, plausible in a way that just wouldn't require, like, that much plot being dedicated to it. And I just think it would work so, so well. And just be a great little Easter egg, basically. Because obviously... Colton is in a really different place in his life now, and he might enjoy kind of playing that in. So
I mean I'm really excited because I loved Ethan and Jackson. I know you were always a much bigger fan of Jackson.
For some reason he was awful, but for some reason his ending just really, like, some reason there was something about like the damage that he had that really got to me, and I'm very excited to have him back, and I want to know everything he's been doing.
Yes, and I want to know where he goes from here, and just how he's living his life, and I think it's so fantastic. So I'm excited for that, but like I really need Isaac to come back.
Look, I think he's dead.
I know.
I know. I love on one of the pieces of feedback, which we'll get back to at the end, when I was asking for it, was Mai saying she basically just left a comment quoting our old staple Taps Watch, Where's Isaac? I would also very much like him back, obviously.
Yeah.
One we haven't heard anything about. But I also don't think that they've shoved everything into the trailer. You know, I think that...
Oh, definitely not.
I think there might be things coming that we don't know about at all.
And I want that. Like, I know when we first started talking about cameos, it was like, I don't want to know anybody that's back. I'm glad we know some people are back, especially because I knew, like, eventually that probably would have come out. Mm. But if they can squeeze in some cameos that we are absolutely shocked by... Like, if Isaac just, you know, walks out of a shadow in the middle of, like, episode 5, I'm going to lose my shit. And I think that's going to be a really fun way to do a couple of character returns.
Yeah, I hope there are some as well. Like,
yeah.
And there's just so many that could, you know, could work. And I'm very, very excited. So... Mm-hmm.
We've got a couple more things here as well. First, Styles in an FBI vest, helping an injured Derek, and there are other FBI agents around.
Yeah, what the hell? Like, so, but this is clearly like Styles's opening, you know, like, or, you know, like he's off at his FBI training college. Does he just randomly like find Derek in the middle of like a crime scene? Or do you think he brings in his FBI contacts to help the final battle or something like
maybe
that?
Maybe he brings them in, but like also he just went there. Like, can he even do that yet?
Yeah, he's definitely a trainee.
I don't know.
So.
Kate is also here. She's holding up a bottle of yellow liquid. No idea what that is, but
no.
Kind of nice to see her back anyway. She's always an interesting character. Scott and Malia in the shower together?
Yeah, this is the one I've got the most comments about, basically.
Yeah.
People being like, what? You what? Well,
and
what?
This is what I was saying before, too, is like, who knows if this is real? It could totally be in somebody's head.
Yeah.
It could be a trick of some sort or whatever. But also, like, I don't know, not totally against it, just because, like, Kira's gone, Allison's gone, Styles is with Lydia. Not that I think that, like, these two need to be paired up or anything, but it's not outside the realm, especially because they're so close in terms of being pack members. It kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of weird, like, that they'd just be like, oh, yeah, the spare ones, like, can be leftover paired
right.
up together. And I feel like they're not that stupid. Like, I feel like they're not, I feel like it's gonna be natural. You know, they managed to make Chris and Melissa natural for whatever reason. You know, if they want to put in that storyline for real, you know, I'm sure that it's gonna have a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But it could, there could be a lot of weird explanations for it.
Yeah. And again, another thing that could possibly not be real is Lydia's definitely on the slab in the morgue.
Oh.
So she's looking kind of dead. Could be a trick. Could be real. Maybe they can bring her back or something like that. But definitely concerning considering, you know, this is the end. People are going to die. I think the world would riot though if that happened.
If she died.
Yeah. It wouldn't be good.
I don't know.
So I'm going with it's a trick of some sort.
Again, maybe these are like the fears.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Thing.
And we end off on Gerard saying, "Welcome back. You all must be feeling rather nostalgic." And all of them are gathered around, including Styles and Derek. And it's just, it was the perfect line to end the trailer. It's the perfect way to describe these last 10 episodes because we know everybody's coming back. It's the perfect way to end season six, like full circle. You know, here we are again. We got Jackson, we got everybody. And I'm so excited, so excited. And this last line was just perfect.
Yeah, and again, this was the line that I was like, okay, is this like, you know, the villain calling in to threaten them? Or is this like, okay, so we all know that this is awkward, but I have to kind of tell you what to do now because I have the, you know how or whatever to be the boss of this situation.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll
and
just
that, who, so who was standing around the car in that scene? It was definitely
okay,
Scott,
so it was Derek. Scott, Styles, Lydia, Peter, Malia, and Derek.
So many hails, Karen.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's cool. And that, you know, hopefully that's like the core group of these last 10 episodes. I'd be really into that.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, like even if Styles isn't, maybe they've had him for the whole thing. And like, you know, we never freaking know where Dylan is. Like, he's a mystery. Like, they could have had him every day for all we know.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he keeps himself to himself. We don't know where he is. So it really mm-hmm. could be possible. And Hecklin,
let's hope so.
You know, did a little bit for Supergirl on the finale of, you know, Clark Kent returning to Supergirl. He's had a couple of awesome indie movie shoots, but not for a little while. And obviously this was filmed quite a while ago as well. So mm-hmm. I would love for them to be an ongoing, because if this is like the final episode, like, oh, everyone's back for the final episode, they wouldn't have shown us this much from the final episode.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if this is only, like, a one special episode that they're in, I just feel like they wouldn't have shown us that much of it.
Yeah.
And so, and if they're going to introduce Styles and Derek in the premiere and then have them be like, oh, yeah, you guys have got a problem on your hands. See ya. You know, like, mm-hmm. they wouldn't come in for the start of the problem and then not be there to help unless they die in the
yeah.
first episode.
Oh, God. But speaking of the first episode, too, that kind of moves us into SDCC, where they are going to be at San Diego Comic-Con. Their panel is on Thursday, July 20th. It's in Hall H.
Oh, I can't.
It's always been in Ballroom 20. They're getting the big room this year.
I can't do it. I can't do it, Karen. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I'm going to freaking scream. Like, I just...
We're going to cry again and hold each other, so it'll be fine.
Oh, I'm going to cry. Everyone's going to cry.
It's going to be at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and the guests are Jeff, Posey, Sprayberry, Shelly, Cody, and Kylan. And MTV has promised a few surprises. I'm wondering if we might get the first episode since we already got the trailer a week ahead of time. And I'm wondering if we're going to be getting some surprise guests, which, I mean, if Charmin is there, that's definitely a possibility. Maybe Dylan will show up. That would be really cool.
Yeah. I hope that they do. I hope we have Dylan and Hecklin. I think they'll bring as many people as they can.
Yeah.
I think this is, going to be a big, big thing. Mm-hmm. And
do you like my other suggestions?
Are these real suggestions?
No. I wrote in here, what else could MTV be surprising us with? A spinoff? A movie? A theme park?
Teen Wolf theme park.
I would be there every day.
Yeah. Oh God, we're going to die. I'm already so stressed about, like, I know that we're going to be able to get into the room and stuff, but like, mm-hmm. I'm already stressed about like where we're going to sit, how we're going to live tweet it. Like, you know, what's going to happen if something dramatic happens and I pass out, like, I don't know how to, like, I'm really, until like the last week and a half, I really have been like, yeah, Teen Wolf is over. Like, Teen Wolf isn't a thing anymore. Like,
yeah.
It's done.
Well,
like,
until just recently, we didn't even know when it was coming back.
Like, it was really just like, what's going on? Oh, and we thought maybe they were going to like dump the last episodes like online, like, oh yeah, there's the rest of Teen Wolf. What about it? Like, or something like that. And now they're pushing it so hard, like all mm-hmm. the cast and the network, and, you know, Comic-Con Hall H, and it's really hard for me because this is sort of making that ending point real in a way that we're kind of like, oh, because it's been like such a slow like fade out, and now it's not a slow fade out, now it's a freaking lit on fire, like bonfire end of Burning Man situation, and I have not really been prepared to handle that emotionally.
And
I don't, I'm really very worried, like very, very worried.
At least we're going to be together.
Oh, fuck.
But I mean, speaking of giving a final push for the last 10 episodes, I do think it's very interesting that we found out Teen Wolf returns Sunday, July 30th at 8 p.m. on MTV. That's 8 p.m. Eastern time. Teen Wolf has never aired on Sundays before. It was Monday and then it was Tuesday, and now it's on Sunday, which is an interesting choice.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a weird, it's like, I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, I don't think they're like caring too much about collecting new viewers at this
point. Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but I know somebody was like, you know, Teen Wolf is they sent Teen Wolf to go die, and I said, it's already dead. Like, it's ending. People are going to show up for the last 10 episodes, so it's not like it's done, it's cemented. They don't need the viewership because it's going to happen either way. So maybe they just found a good spot for it and stuck it in there.
Yeah.
But, all right, I want to hear some feedback.
Okay, let me read a few messages now that we got about sort of in reaction to the trailer and asking for theories and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Let me get some good ones. So someone said, can we expect a Comic-Con recap ep? Yes, definitely. We will be doing a Comic-Con recap episode of both this show for Not Another Teen Wolf podcast and a general one for Not About the Weather with all of the other things that we're going to be talking about and covering and stuff like that. Yes, 100%. And we will live blog or live tweet the Teen Wolf panel as well. So the... First of all, I said, you know, when we said that we were both in transit because we were both traveling from one city to another when the trailer came out, Courtney says, I need you both to get your shit together in response to that. Someone has begged, Hannah HanB29 has said, podcast on the new trailer in Terabang, in Terabang? Yes, we're doing it right now. There's just a lot of sadness about the last episode, but basically there's a lot about the Scott and Malia shower scene. What is this world we've opened a door into in which hot Scalia shower sex is happening? Question mark. Sad face from Nikki Florence. Mai says, I don't want anyone to die. That's my comment. Nikki also says, what is Jackson's reaction to everyone going to be like?
Ooh.
So that should be interesting, like to see how he, you know, how he's looking at that after all this time. Manu V, so Manu _V says, where is Isaac with the hand clap emoji. So, Cricket 213, Carly also says, my first thought is, why is Scalia making out in the shower? Reality dream, I don't know what to think. So that's kind of a big, big thing at the moment. And again, like other people just saying we should record. Victoria Saints Go said, maybe they're facing the boogeyman. I don't know if that's like a pun on the fact that the guy's very slimy or if they're actually talking about like the manifestation of like a, you know, a thing that instills fear. So that could be a possibility. Courtney says, you know, when I asked for theories, Courtney says that she is the villain of the final season. And Laura Morrow says that her theory is Styles and Derek will come in at the bleakest point and help, and that we will see Allison again in some way.
Ooh. I was kind of wondering about that too, to be honest. I feel like an homage of some sort, especially with Hunters and Chris, like I wouldn't put that past them.
Flashback maybe.
Yeah. Victoria, can we get a flashback with Victoria too?
Yeah.
We love you, Edie. Like, I don't even care about Victoria that much. I just want to see her on the screen.
Yeah, it would be interesting. So yeah, it's all happening, and I'm very upset. Like, I'm very like excited, but also very, very, very stressed and upset about what this is going to be like over the next couple of months. So
we have 2.5 weeks until the premiere.
I think we might see it at Comic-Con. I'm kind of thinking that we might. So how long is the panel slot?
They usually give
an hour in Hall H.
I feel like they usually give 45 minutes.
Well, they have to. When would they show the?
Oh no, I guess it would be an hour. Yeah, I think it is an hour. Because I've been to panels before. I think we both have. Where like you see the 45 minute episode, and then they have like a 15 minute Q&A after.
Yeah, it could be.
So very real possibility.
I don't know. I'm very stressed. I'm going to be such a wreck. So, I'm so sad. I'm very excited, and I think they'll make it worth it. But it's very stressful.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we will be back pretty soon to talk about more Teen Wolf things, like as soon as we have big news. Like probably the next time we record will be at Comic-Con. So we can do a recording there about what's happened, and then that'll go up, and then the episodes will start coming out the week after Comic-Con. So we'll be at Comic-Con on the Sunday, the 22nd or whatever, and then we'll be out on the 30th, the week after. So we'll be doing that. So that'll be fun, I guess.
Yep.
Anyway, feel free to message us with your thoughts and theories and stuff before then. And, you know, if you want to, or if you have any questions for Comic-Con as well, like if we do the press room, which is very, very, very likely. Anyone got any burning questions to ask the cast and crew, Jeff and whoever the cast is there, about, theories and teasers for 6B or sort of something just looking back over the whole Teen Wolf experience, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of nostalgia there as well. So, we've obviously always got things to say, but if anyone wants to ask a particular question, we can try and get that in there. So, and then we've got to make all our plans for the rest of the season. If you'd like anything specific from us for the rest of the season, in terms of, I don't know, guests or anything like that, obviously we try our best all the time, but we'll do one final push for some really good content, I guess, before it ends or in the wake of it after it does end. So
definitely.
Oh, that's about it then. So thanks for tuning in, I guess, and still being excited about the show.
Are we going to say bye now?
Yeah, we're going to say bye. So, all right, we'll talk to you guys soon. So, all right, we have to go. So, watch the trailer 56 more times. And, we'll see you guys soon. So, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. All right.
What was that?
Nothing. It's just this is all very, I'm very stressed about this show.
Me too.
Okay. All right.